coffee, just coffee.
No menu, too. Hi,
folks. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilacs, sitting here at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern Formica counter at the old diner on an old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at the moment. Just an ordinary day, really. Ordinary day, the end of January, the 28th. How many months have 28 days? Why, all of them. It's just such a sin that January is so... there's so much of it. Of all the months, really, to put in the middle of winter at the start of the year, something this enormous. And even though I was only in the cold part of it for half of it, it's just this is just like chewing your way through a big block of ice, at least up in this part of the world. It would be nicer if we could just... I'm in favor of micro-months. Really. I mean, we're all used to 12 months, right? Thanks, Romans, all that, etc. But, you know... maybe if we just broke it up into smaller months, we had 24 of them. For one thing, every month would be required to have its own holiday, which would be fine with me, frankly. We're in that period right now where there's just no real good holiday on the horizon. We've got all these little practice holidays. You got Valentine's Day. You know, everything's pink and red and hearts and cupids. It's the obligatory emotional love day. And then there's St. Patrick's Day, which somehow the culture sort of winks and nods and says, yeah, boy, it's all about getting hammered. Just getting plowed. But they don't really come out and say it. It's all about the look of the Irish. And Aaron go, brah. But if you had micro months... 2 weeks each. Each would have their own little holiday. And I can see that there might be a nice little holiday in the second half of January to keep everybody's interest, to keep them from taking a dull butter knife and stabbing repeatedly at their wrist veins. I don't know what it would be exactly. There's probably some sort of festival we could dig up from Roman times or borrow something from indigenous cultures or whatnot, and it would certainly... not only just goose the greeting card industry, it would make the seasonal aisle at Walgreens a lot more interesting. Because boy, once you get past the first of the year, it's all candy, pink and red and Valentine's Day. It's it 6 weeks of that stuff. You know, you'd have you'd break up the monotony a little bit, and also there would be this effect: if you had a holiday every 2 weeks. Then Oreos would be in constant flux. When I was growing up, Oreos were pretty much Oreos all the time. That is, if you were an Oreo family, if you weren't one of those weird Hydrox families. I always noticed that. There's always those free thinkers, people who refused to go by the rules of society, man. You told them they have to have Heinz? No, they're going to go with Hunt's. You told them to drink Coke or Pepsi, they'll go RC. And these are the people who had Hydrox as well. I think my grandma had Hydrox. They're always incredibly dry, maybe because she went through a bag about every 6 months or so. But anyway, Oreos were just that. They were Oreos all the time. But at some point, they decided that they would do brand extension. They would come up with different varieties of Oreos. And they would tint the interior cream functions. So you had, you know, green Oreos for Christmas, and you'd have pastel for Happy Bunny Resurrection Day. And, of course, I'm sure there's lots of red ones out there now to remind you of the heart and the blood that flows through it. So they'd have to come up with a different color of Oreo, and the kaleidoscopic options are just fascinating to consider, aren't they, really? Well, I'm just here for a little while, actually, having a good cup of diner coffee. Whilst I wait for my... it's in a can. It's the darndest thing. They just started putting diner coffee in cans. And I don't know why, but they did. And they heat it up by putting the can in the microwave. So there's... so it's darn sparkly back there in the kitchen. What with all the microwaves striking the metal. But it just doesn't taste right. I hope this is something of a fad. What they're doing, of course, is that the management is trying to make more money by marketing diner coffee in a can and selling it elsewhere. This would work in Japan, because in Japan you can put anything in a can in a vending machine and people will buy it. You can jam a lobster into a can and put it in a vending machine and people will buy it. Even more if it's wrapped in a schoolgirl's panties. Japanese are weird that way. But anyway, I'm just stopping here for a little bit before I go to my daughter's cello recital. She's part of an orchestra, fourth graders. You can imagine, a lot of sawing. A lot of unenthusiastic rote sawing. But some of the kids are good. My daughter's coming along quite nicely, although for the last 6 months, it seems, she's been working on this piece that just consists of two or three notes, endlessly droned out. She's not got the melody, of course, because she's the cello. When do the cellos get the melody? Okay, Beethoven's ninth. Da-da-da-da. That's very nice. Thank you, Beethoven, giving them the melody. Your cello concertos, obviously. But most of the time, they're down there doing cello things. And so this one is just is something about a Native American walking through the woods in a mysterious fashion. My wife was actually trying to act this out the other night. I came downstairs, and my wife was conducting a series of motions and gestures, which to me did not immediately say Native American walking through the woods. But I hope it helped, and we'll see if this dynamic insight will be present at the concert. I was in orchestra when I was in high school. Played the violin. Played my grandfather's violin, as a matter of fact. Something that he got, this old battered instrument that actually had been painted. It originally was a nice, lovely color, but then it was painted like black varnish or something. And because it was very old, of course, we thought it was quite valuable, and so we took it to an appraiser at, what was the name of the place? Big music store down, DeVos Music. That's right, DeVos Music. And this may be apocryphal. I may be completely imagining this, and I may have made it up entirely, but I seem to remember that he looked at it and said that this violin was made by two very famous individuals, Sears and Roebuck. No, that can't be true. But I sawed away at that thing for many years, and I played it in the high school orchestra. I was one of the first violins. We had first violins, second violins. Here's how good we were. We played Paganini's Violin Concerto. Yes. Now, the reason we played it is because we had a student who was a virtuoso. Man, this guy was good. Obviously, if he's playing Paganini. And he had the whole Paganini thing down pat, too. He had long hair in the front, which would fall in front of his face as he was madly, his bow scampered up and down, and he called forth this devilish magic from his instrument. He was really good. And there's not a lot to do for the orchestra to do in Paganini's Violin Concerto, but, you know, we did our best, and it was something else. That was a Fargo public school education in those days. Paganini in the orchestra and driving around every weekend in a split-level bus to go someplace and do speech debate and crush the spirits of people from smaller rural schools. Good times. So I'm going to be going to that. In the meantime, I think I might have something to eat here. I don't know. Maybe a Ticker Stopper hamburger. I wonder if they could serve them in half portions. Why can't you buy a half hamburger anywhere? I know, you're saying. What would they do with the other half? Well, I don't know. How about just make a half a patty when you're making the hamburger? I mean, it's always got to be one full month. It's always got to be one full hamburger. It's got to always be one 12-ounce can of coffee. Let me tell you, portion control in this country. Well, I think I will have a little hamburger here. I don't have to eat the whole thing. There's no law that says I got to finish it. Although there sort of was, kind of, if you remember growing up and being told to clean your plate because of the existence of starving children in other nations. And I think it was at King's Food Host, which is the fondest childhood memory of food I have anywhere, because they had these incredible hamburgers, which the amount of MSG that was clinging to every molecule of meat must have been extraordinary, but they were just delicious. And at King's, you order from a phone at your table. That's right, no waitresses, no tipping. You picked up a phone, man. This was so modern, and you ordered right there. And they had something called the Clean Plate Boosters Club. If indeed you finished everything, you would get a little pin attesting to your membership in the Clean Plate Boosters Club. Okay. I don't believe there was that any special privileges attended to you after such membership. It's not as though you could come across the scene of an auto accident and the police would be holding people back and you could say, "Let me through, Clean Plate Boosters Club." No, you can't get... I mean, to this day, I try to get through the security line at the airport. I got groped, seriously groped, where was it? I think it was actually in Minneapolis, now that I think about it, at the Humphrey Terminal. I went through the screener, and I walked through the usual, you know, beep, 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 and the lady on the other side was pointing off to the side, and I didn't know what she meant. I had no idea what she meant. She was pointing to the side and grinning at me, and I said, what do you want me to do? And she said, I want you to go where I'm pointing, which was in the big, you know, naked interrogation machine. So I stood there, and I hadn't taken my wallet out, so of course they naturally assumed that this rectangular chunk hanging onto my right buttock was a piece of plastique, and I got, man, did I get a hand up there. Holy cow. Take it all with equanimity. Anyway, I couldn't have gotten past that with a Clean Plate Boosters Club ticket. Oh, no. So I'm going to have half a hamburger. I'm going to leave the other half. American that I am. It will be thrown out. But while they're cooking it up here, let's go to the jukebox and see if he's got anything rolling for us today. Let's go to H1. Yeah, daddy-o. Shake it.
I was rolling down the highway when a town came in view. I need a cup of coffee and a hamburger or two. I pulled up to the building, got out, and went in.
You don't need all the details.
What I saw, made my mind spin. It was my hamburger baby with a smile on her face. I didn't notice anyone else in the place. She got out a pencil and the way she threw her hand nearly drove me mad. My hamburger baby, let me be the one to sweep you off your feet. We'll have so much fun. My hamburger baby, I'll be around for quite a while.
So if I get this right, he was driving and hungry and pulled in at a restaurant and a waitress took his order.
Wow.
Huh. Well, gosh, while I wait for my hamburger, baby, I'm going to avail myself of the restroom here, wash my hands, and which... of course, means it's time for a word from a brand new sponsor of the diner, Smokey the Bear.
Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear.
Hello there, folks. This is Smokey, the forest fire-preventing bear.
Those singing friends of mine, the Sons of the Pioneers, have a song for you. But first, how about joining us on a little visit to a big star? And today is one of America's best-loved band leaders, Lawrence Welk. Hello, Mr. Welk.
Hi, Smokey. You know, we folks who grew up on the farms all learned early in life how important the trees are and their value in protecting food crops. The trees also make a very wonderful home for wildlife and give beauty to the land. They give us so much and ask so little. And of course, we all love picnics under the trees. It's everybody's duty to teach children to be very careful with matches, especially in the outdoors. Let us impress upon them that only care on the part of everyone can prevent forest fires. Carelessness in the forest, just as in an orchestra or anything else, can only result in catastrophe. Isn't that right, Smokey?
It sure is, Mr. Welk.
All right, I'm back. Sorry. I know that was a rather long break. Shouldn't have taken that long. I only washed one hand. I decided since I'm just going to have half a burger, I'm just going to wash one hand. But I did a really good job. I mean, I washed it up to the elbow. Like I was going in for surgery or something like that. Why do they have to wash up to the elbows when they're doing surgery? I mean, how much of your surgical procedure is actually done with the elbow? I'd like to know. Well, like I say, I got to eat and run here. Don't have an awful lot of time. It's another one of our short diners, but at least they're every week. And when next we meet, January will be over. What's February? January? What is February? February named after Februus? Exactly. I don't know. Some ancient Roman god I'm not familiar with. We all know January, of course, comes from Janus, the two-faced god. Why would anybody pray to a two-faced god? I mean, if your two-faced god says, oh, yeah, sure, I'll make that happen, who's going to trust him? Janus was also the god of doorways, which probably wasn't a plum assignment when they were handing them out in the pantheon. Imagine that day in Olympus. All right, you got thunderbolts, you got the ocean. Janus, you got doors. Should also note that song that was playing when I came back, thanks for whoever put that on, was Soulfinger by the Bar K's. One of my favorite songs, one of the greatest songs of the 60s, and I can't hear the song without thinking of the movie Spies Like Us, which is rare because I don't often think of the movie Spies Like Us. Nobody does. It wasn't very good. But it did have something going for it. At the end of it, if you'll recall, Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase, that wacky comic team, had stumbled upon a Soviet nuclear missile installation in, I believe, Afghanistan. And the commies were all sitting around playing Soulfinger by the Bar K's because they're just like us, you know, because they really want to be like us and they like our music and that stuff. Well, you know, possibly true. There's nothing to say that a enjoyment of Soulfinger is necessarily inconsistent with the belief in the core principles of Bolshevism. But it was the idea that we're all kind of the same. We just get on the same page and dump all this nuclear nonsense. We could be pals. But that's not really what sticks in the mind. There was an actress who was quite spectacularly constructed, who, of course, came out of her tent in snowy Afghanistan and in her underwear and got into a big parka. Because that's what you do, you know, when the temperature's 10 above. Just walk out in your underwear. So just a moment of cinematic history I've never been able quite to remove from my memory, and I see no compelling reason why I should, except that it, you know, comes to mind when I think of Soulfinger. Can't even remember the actress's name, Angel something. I just know at the end of the film we were expected to believe that she was hopelessly in love and besotted in a sexual fascination fashion with Chevy Chase. Yeah. Also, the end result of the film was that nuclear treaties were signed and the world was going to be safe again. I always leave it to the bumbling misadventures of a comic duo to settle large geopolitical conflicts. If there's anything we've learned from movies, I think it's that. Well, I got to run, folks. Got to go to the concert. I will tell you on the bleat exactly how it works out, whether or not the cellos did effectively communicate the mood of a Native American moving through the forest. And we'll have more next week, of course. I'm looking at the jukebox here. I don't think this guy is... There's not a song on here I recognize. There's not an artist here that I possibly can recognize. The T-Set, that's about as close as I can get to a recognizable act. Remember I speculated that actually the music was being pumped in by a remote government location as some means of testing mind control on us by reading our minds and seeing what kind of songs we'd like to hear? I think the guy ran out of money. And he's just getting stuff from Salvation Army bargain bins here. But we'll have a little bit more of that next week. We'll probably have something that'll make that Hamburger Baby song sound like a classic from the Beatles. Good Lord. Well, that's when next we meet, which will be in February, and I'll do some research to find out what god that's named after. In the meantime, thanks for joining us, folks. I'm James Lilac. This has been The Diner for Friday, January 28th. We'll see you down the road.